You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Today we're launching a new sermon series for all of summer called Soul Oxygen. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about all the things that can bring oxygen to your soul, right? All the things that you can do to bring more life to your soul. And because we were all designed to have a relationship with God, you know that? Like, you weren't just designed to exist. You weren't just designed to get saved and give your life to Jesus Christ. You were designed to have a relationship with God, okay? Come on. See, being close to God is like oxygen for your soul. Like, in His presence, your soul comes alive, amen? See, and it's different, and that's the thing. We want you to understand it's different than just believing in God and confessing Him as Lord of your life, which most of us, or in fact, probably all of us, or most of us anyway, across this room and all of our campuses, that's what everyone has done. You know, we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. He's the Lord of our lives, amen. He is God, He is good, and He is our God. And you're saved by that. Scripture says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you'll be saved. And most of us, or many of us anyway, have done that. And you're saved by that. You're saved from hell. You're saved from sin. You're saved from your past and your past mistakes. And God has given you a brand new identity, and a wonderfully exciting and rewarding journey has begun. Amen? But the relationship with God, that relationship, that friendship with God, that's about the richness of your life. Amen? The fruitfulness of your relationships, amen. The power that you have in your battles, the strength of your character, and the health of your soul. All of that's going to come from your relationship with God. Not just believing in Him, but having a friendship with Him and spending time with Him. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, I believe we all want to live with a healthy soul, yeah? If that's you, give me a wave. Say amen. Everywhere, yeah? If that's you, give me a wave. You want a healthy soul? Then you need to have more than just a confession of faith in Jesus Christ, but you need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Not just the get out of jail free card that we got when we got saved. And I thank God for that. Hey, you're not going to hell anymore. Fantastic. Thank you, Jesus. But who knows that you can get out of jail free and then still have a unhealthy life, right? You can get out of jail and still do the same dumb things that got you into jail in the first place, right? And you can also get out of jail and live a vibrant life, a healthy life, a rich life that blesses you, that blesses your family, and that blesses the community that God's put you in. John said in 3 John, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, and that all may go well with you, just as it is going well with your soul." And so we want to talk about a healthy soul here at Eternity Church over these next few weeks, because we want you to have a healthy soul and then to live healthy lives. Amen. So over the coming weeks, we're going to talk about the importance of and the power of things like prayer, things like fasting, things like reading the Word of God daily in your lives, things like worship here and worship at home and worship in your car, things like fellowship, the importance of fellowship with other believers, amen? Talking about resting with God and celebrating God, yeah? Celebrating the things that God's done in your life and even how introducing other people to God will bring strength and health to your soul, by strengthening your friendship with God. Amen. So let's pray. Reach out your hands in faith if you want to receive from the Lord today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the wonderful things you've done in our lives. We thank you for not just creating us and putting us on a shelf, but creating us and desiring relationship with each and every one of us. God, we're so grateful that we have the opportunity to participate in worship and the opportunity to receive encouragement and direction from your word today. Help us to receive all that you want to say to us today and over the coming weeks, and to put it into practice in our lives so that we can have healthy souls, causing a richness in our lives that the devil cannot take away. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're excited and we're passionate and we're expecting to leave here today full and overflowing with heavenly strength in Jesus' name. And all those who receive that would just say, amen. Amen. Praise God. Every now and again during the service, do me a favor and just say, God, give him strength. I'd appreciate that. I've had a couple of weeks off, and lo and behold, I woke up this morning and could not talk. And so, praise God, I have a voice now. So, God bless you. Alrighty, who brought their Bibles with them today? Lift them up and wave them at me. Show me that you got a Bible. Maybe it's your phone. Your Bible might glow in the dark, and that's okay too. I'm glad you charged up your phone Bibles today, because now your Bible is going to charge you up. So you're ready? We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 to 9. You can also mark Job 33, verse 4. We'll be there in a second. But I got to tell you how excited I am, how glad I am to be back at Eternity Church today. There's just nothing like being here at Eternity Church. Amen. Like, I've been around the world. There's a song in Australia. I've been around the world a couple of times, or maybe more. I've seen the sights. I've had delights on every foreign shore. But the place that I adore is right back home. Amen. And I sort of shortened the song a little bit because my wife gave me that look like, you're not a good singer. Quit right now. And so I'm going to do that. But I got to tell you, after being on vacation, I am so glad to be back here. There really is nothing else like it. We went to Wisconsin Dells, which is basically Branson with a little less Jesus. And wouldn't you agree? And I know Pastor Sean preached a great message last week, Dodgeball Jesus. I heard some people got things thrown at them. People went to hospital. Bones were broken. Things were done. Things were said. But we are here today. But in all seriousness, I heard it was a great word. In fact, I got to watch along with you as well online, with our online campus. And so that's fantastic. Can we all give Pastor Sean a great hand and some honor for bringing the word last week? Are we all ready now for Genesis chapter 2, verse 7? It says, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust in the ground. And it is true that the men were made from dust, the women from something a little better. Amen. Then God formed a man from the dust in the ground, and he breathed life into his nostrils, the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, there. And there he put a man that he had formed. Then the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden was the tree of life, and there was also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. See, the breath of God is mentioned so many times in Scripture. So many times in Scripture. And we'd be here all day, wouldn't we? We'd be here all day if I read all the times that Scripture talks about the breath of God or the wind of God. But let's grab Job chapter 33, verse 4 right now. The Spirit of God has made me. This is Job. He's saying, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of Almighty God gives me life. Come on, anyone else can say that? Come on, the Spirit of God made me, and the breath of God gives me life. I'm alive today. I didn't just come alive when I was born. I didn't just come alive when I was conceived. I didn't just come alive when God thought of me. I'm also alive now because of the breath of God. Amen. Church, I'm going to need you to help me preach today because I don't have much voice and I've got to stay toned down. And so if you don't get excited, I'm going to get overexcited. I'm going to yell and then I'm going to lose my voice and my wife's going to have to look after 5 kids on her own and then she'll be mad at you. All right? And so, come on. Anyone else here grateful for the breath of the Almighty God giving them life today? Amen. See, every single one of us was created and given life by the breath of God. He literally chose you. I often hear people talk about how they were adopted, and the one thing they love about that is that their mom and their dad chose them, right? We've been adopted into God's family, but even before then, He chose to give us life. Amen. He literally chose you. But it's not just about life physically, it's also His presence that breathes life into our souls, into who you are, into your innermost being, right? I'm not just talking about this fleshy stuff we're carrying around. God breathes life into your soul, into that innermost part of your life, amen? It's who you are, and He's sustaining it. And spending time with God heals us, equips us, strengthens us, empowers us, encourages us, inspires us, uplifts us, amen? And if our souls are healthy, our lives will be much richer, yeah? Come on. Our relationships. My relationship with my wife is better when my soul is healthy. Come on, amen? Our decisions will be wiser. I make better decisions when I've been spending time with God. Anybody else, yeah? Our decisions will be wiser. Our emotions are going to be more stable. Come on, some people are going to look at their spouse and say, spend some time with Jesus. Come on. I said spouse. Come on, I didn't name a gender, all right? We will all be more stable in our emotions when we've got a healthy soul, amen? Our hearts will be more fulfilled. And while it's cool that God has set us free from the punishment of our sin, and it's cool that He calls us righteous and sanctified and all of that's fantastic, I am absolutely thrilled that the moment I gave my life to Jesus Christ, whether or not I'm spending enough time with Him, God looks at me and says, that dude is righteous, right? That's awesome, right? No matter how well I'm behaving, no matter how healthy my soul is, God in heaven looks at me and says, that dude's righteous, that dude's holy, that dude's perfect. I love that guy. Fantastic, right? Now, while all of that's good, but there is a fruitfulness and there is a healthiness and a vibrancy that comes from a relationship with God that goes beyond simply knowing and believing who He is. Amen. See, God is the oxygen for my soul. My soul was designed for His presence, like my body was designed for oxygen, yeah? See, and if these balloons are my oxygen right here, the further that my body gets from the oxygen source, the harder it is for me to live. And it's the same with my relationship with God. The better my relationship is to God, with God, the closer I am to the source of my soul's strength, the stronger I'm going to be. Amen? Yeah. But if this is God, if these balloons right here are God, and the further I get from God, the more unhealthy my soul is going to be. I'm still righteous, I'm still holy, but the further away that I get, the harder life's going to be for me. I'm going to walk away from God, and then I'm going to start carrying burdens. It's going to be harder over here. I'm not as strong as I was there. It's getting harder to walk. It's getting heavier. Someone just dropped a big bag of lust in my burden bag. Come on. And then over here, I'm starting to fall over because I'm too far away and my soul isn't strong enough. And now I'm getting covered with all sorts of garbage in my life. And it's holding me down because the McNace devils have had access to my soul. But as I get closer to God, I'm just getting closer to God, I'm getting stronger and stronger, and I can start throwing all of this sort of garbage off my life. And over here, when the devil comes at me, I've got the strength to say no. I've got the strength to say be gone in Jesus' name. And he's like, well, he does know Jesus, but see, over there, simple tasks get harder. A simple thing like being a dad, it's harder over there. Simple thing like being nice to someone on the phone, right? Sorry, let's being nice to a telemarketer on the phone. That should be easy over here. Ring, ring, ring. Hi, I'm Jenny. Shut up, you're a computer. Actually, I'm not. Oops. doesn't happen over as much over here, right? We're not as angry over here. We're not as undisciplined over here. We're not as lustful over here. Come on, we still make mistakes over here, but we're stronger and we overcome them faster and we can throw them off quicker, amen? We need to stay closer to the source of our soul's strength. See, over there, the devil's adding shame. Over there, the devil's making me feel bad about my past. Over there, the devil's giving me an anxiety, and it's crushing me, and I can't stand up with it. But over here, where I'm hanging out with Jesus, I'm stronger. Over here, I'm strong in the Word of God. Over here, my soul is well, amen. Over here, I can throw the garbage off. Over here, I can fight the devils off, amen. Over here, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm not afraid. I'm not a victim over here. I'm a victor in Jesus' name. Over there, he's a victor. Over here, I'm a victor, amen. Because you were created to be in relationship with God, like your lungs need oxygen to feed your body. You were created to have a friendship with God. In Psalm 42, the sons of Korah write this. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Come on. I love that it's even better for us now, because this was written in the Old Testament where he had to go to a place to find God, right? Come on. But now we can worship God in the place that you stand, in the place that you drive, in the place that you sit, in the place that you fly. We can worship God anywhere. We never have to say, where can I go meet with God? Now God is saying, when will they meet with me? Come on. Have you ever felt like your soul is tired? Give me a wave. You know, ever been there? Where just everything is hard, you know? Your soul is just exhausted. You ever felt like you just don't have the strength for the next battle? Probably even said things like this, the next thing will kill me, you know, or the next one will be the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, you ever say things like that, you know? Are you too far from your soul oxygen? Have you ever said, I wish I could live every day at church in the presence of God? Who's ever said that? You know, like I've said that before. I wish I could live every day in church. I wish I could spend every day with our worship team. I wish I could spend every day worshiping with these people. But see, that would neglect the mission that God's called me to do from the days in between the services. Amen. He didn't call me to stay in church where it's safe and I'm being encouraged. He called me to be equipped and then to give myself some strength during the week, keep spending time with him during the week as I'm doing the mission that he's called me to do. Because your soul needs God all week. It doesn't just need God on Saturday and Sunday or on Wednesday night at youth. Your soul needs God all week. I'm talking to young people. I'm talking to old people. I'm talking to average age people. Average age people is always people my age, FYI. However old I am, that's the average age. Up and down of that, you pick what you are, amen. But I'm talking to everybody in here for real. I'm talking to people who are 80 plus. I'm talking to people who are 90 plus. I'm talking to people who are 10. Your soul needs God during the week, not just at youth or kids church or church. That's why at Eternity Church, we're obsessed with worship. Right, we are. And that's a great reset for your soul, isn't it? Because if you've had a rough week, you can come to church and you can reset your soul in the presence of God. And that's fantastic. And I'm glad that we do that. And it's my desire that the worship experiences at Eternity would be so addicting and so inspiring and so encouraging that you're inspired and you know that you just want more of God so much so that you spend more time with him during the week, not just waiting for next Saturday or not just waiting for next Sunday. That's why we preach the Word of God here every single week. That's why we have altar calls here every single week, because we don't just want strong on Sunday, weak on Wednesday Christians, do we? Right? We want to help you not just simply survive your week, but we want you to thrive your week with a strong and a healthy soul. And yes, it is special when God's people come together and worship. And it's hugely important that we make weekend services and youth services a very high priority, if not the highest meeting priority in our lives, right? Absolutely. Drawing near to God together is important. Scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture reminds us and even commands us as believers to stay in fellowship, to stay in church and regularly and frequently. Absolutely important. But you can, you should, and you need to spend time with God all week if you want to be a victorious, strong, healthy Christian. You can't rely on me to be your source of soul oxygen. Come on. You need to go to where I get my source. You need to go where I get my energy. And that's the King of Kings. Amen. That's the Lord of Lords. That's the God in heaven. That's the one who created you and created me. Hallelujah. You need to spend time with the source Monday to Friday as well. Can I get an amen? Don't just spend time in his house, but ask him to come to your house. See, there's a story in the Old Testament that's... Now, the Old Testament, that's the part of the Bible before the book of Matthew. The story of King David. He wanted to honor God by bringing the Ark of the Covenant, which often represents the presence of God. He wanted to bring that back to his place or back to where he was. And along the way, a man was killed while reaching out to stabilize the ark. He touched it and then he was killed. And this made David really angry at God. He was very mad. And he wanted God's presence, but at this particular moment, he didn't want it to cost him anything. And this frustrated him. And so he sends it and parks it at somebody else's house, right? And 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11 says that the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. There's so many ites in the Bible, isn't there? Like, everybody's an ite in the Bible. They're an ite, they're a mite, they're a mosquito bite, they're a Gittite. Obed-Edom was a Gittite, and the ark of the Lord went there for 3 months. And then it says, the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told to King David that the Lord had blessed the entire household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him, everything that he owns, because of the ark of the Lord being in his house. So David went and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. We'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. But you don't just want to spend time in God's house. You don't just, or figuratively speaking in church or with other people, and all that's fantastic. But you need to bring God into your house, into your life, from Monday to Friday, amen. See, God will bless your house and your home if you're spending more time with Him. Having the presence of God in your life causes a blessing that overflows onto you and yours and all that you own, amen. Bringing God into your house will bless you and your family. I was talking to a family member recently in Australia, and they still do this. In Australia, growing up, we would be... just driving out we'd be sitting in the yard playing cricket or something like that, and Dad would be like, kids, get in the car, we're going visiting. I don't know if you ever said that here, going visiting, like it's a thing. Visiting is a thing that you do, right? And you would basically go and knock on people's doors till someone answers a door and you go in and hang out with them, right? And that's what we did. Did anyone do that? Is that a thing in America? No, it was a thing in Australia anyway. So Dad would go, kids, get in the car, we're going visiting. So we'd go and we'd knock on someone's door in town if we were living in town at the time. And if they didn't answer, they may have been home, but they may have known it was us. But then we would go further out of town to the cook's house or something like that, and we'd knock on the door and we'd just say, hey, we're out visiting. So we thought we'd stop in we'll put a cuppa on for you, a cup of coffee. And it's instant coffee in Australia. Never any of this beautiful espresso stuff that you all have in your houses in America. Nope, just a teaspoon of ground up, like melting coffee. And so we'd go and have that with a couple of lumps of sugar in it. And I know, and then we would just keep doing that over and over and over, and knock, knock, knock. And, whoa, Graham, put your clothes on. The Newmans are here. And sometimes I'd ride my bike about 20 kilometers. I don't know what that is in miles, but I know it was 20 kilometers. I would just get on my bike. I'd ride it 20 kilometers, knock on my friend's door. Crap, they're not home. Have a drink out of their garden hose and head back home, right? And we loved that growing up. That was true. I did do that all the time. And but as a kid, see, I was a kid, right? I didn't have a house. As a kid, I was always going to other people's houses. I was going visiting. I would visit them. But now, I would visit them just like as a new Christian, we keep visiting God's house, right? We keep visiting God, and we keep visiting the church or the places that we know God's going to be at. And so we go there to visit Him. But as I grew up, I built a house of my own, and I started to invite people to come to my house, right? And as we mature and grow in our faith as believers, right, as Christians, we don't want to just go to places where we know God is at. We want to create environments and invite God to come into those places, amen? And so now that we're more mature as believers, we're going to say, God, I'm going to meet with you right here in my car on the interstate. God, I'm going to meet with you right here in my backyard in West Des Moines, in my backyard in Stuart, in my backyard in Adel, in my backyard in Ankeny. God, I'm going to meet with you where I am. Amen. See, your physical home and your daily life is a place where now you can take God and God's presence to bless your kids by making your house God's house. Amen. You can bring peace to your home by bringing the Prince of Peace into your home. Yeah? See, you can come home and you're always like, there's never any peace here. I had peace at work. One of the reasons for that is you have a lot of kids. And that's on you. You did something that caused that. And so there's a lot of kids in your house. Anyone feel like I'm talking to myself right now? I think I am. Yeah. I'm definitely top 10 for biggest families in the church. But no matter how much chaos is in my home, peace can be there in the midst of the chaos when I invite God to come and live in my house. You can bring victory into your home by tagging God in the fight for you. Amen. You can bring healing into your home by bringing Jehovah Rapha, which means the God who heals, by bringing Jehovah Rapha into your home. See, broken relationships are healed in the presence of Jehovah Rapha. Amen. If you want to be a strong Christian, if you want to be a powerful person, if you want to be a victor over the devil rather than a victim of the devil, then this whole sermon series is for you. I know it's going to bless your life. This week when you go home, I want you to understand the importance of feeding your soul. Feeding your soul. I want you to leave here today with a greater desire for the presence of God. Because we are going to spend the next 8 to 10 weeks talking about the ways that you can bring strength to your soul. The ways that you can engage the presence of God, the ways that you can engage the power of God, the faith of God in your life, amen. We're going to talk about it for a whole couple of months, because I want you to leave here today just fired up, ready to say, ready to spend time with God, ready to chase after God. I want you to have a bigger desire to know Him more, amen. We can all grow together. This is going to be fun. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be a great time. Yeah, come on. Praise God if you're excited. Come on. I hope you do when you go, by the way. Pray for my voice. It has been a little rough, and I do want to keep going. Amen. Keep going. I got a lot of meetings to do. Got a lot of places to be. A lot of things we're going to do for the Lord. Amen. So please keep praying for me as well when you're in your private prayer times. And but would you all stand up with me? We're going to begin to close the message, and then we're going to spend some time in the presence of God, inviting God to come and move, to come and speak. We're all going to grow together. We can explore the Word of God together. Amen. We're going to get swole in our souls. Come on. We're going to have swole souls. Come on. Come on. But the one challenge I have for you this week, as we prepare for next week, is that you throw on Spotify. It's just a real simple one. It's like step one. Easiest thing you can do to get a swole soul, right? We should have named the sermon series Soul Get Swole. Only dudes would have come. Yep. Chicks would be like, that sounds terrible. No. Right? Come on. But the one challenge I have, if you don't know what swole is, that's like after going to the gym, that's the pump. Yeah? You get like pumped up muscles after you're on the gym. If you don't know what the heck I'm talking about. But anyway, this week, I want you to throw on Spotify, Pandora, Google Home, Alexa, whatever it is, and bring some spontaneous worship into your life this week so that when you come next week, you're already on fire and we're just adding instead of just resetting. Wouldn't it be great if you would come to church next week and add to rather than having to reset? Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. Because you can do that. You can do that. You can grow, not just reset. When you get home stressed out, instead of cracking open a beer, yell out to Siri, Siri, play Elevation Worship for me. Yeah. Now, if you're me, she'll say, sorry, I can't help with that. So then I'll yell out, Alexa, play Elevation Worship for me. Playing Elevation Worship now. Works every time. Siri hates me. I don't know why. I have her on Australian Siri right now, and she doesn't understand me because I say some words like you. And then when I have her on American Siri, she doesn't understand me because I say some words like them. So it's just all jacked up. They need like an Aus-American Siri. That'd be fantastic. On your way home from work, from the gym, from the grocery store, from school, on your way home, give that drive to God this week. Let the drive home be a tunnel of worship, right? Let that drive home be like a conduit of peace, bringing the presence of God into your home. Like there have been times, particularly this year, we've had a lot going on. There have been times where during the drive home, I've had to throw on worship. Or I'm going to come home and I'm just not going to have as much peace as I know I need to have. Decisions you got to make. By the way, it's all good things. There's not been bad things. Just been a lot of really good things going on. But who knows, good things still require a rest in the Lord, right? Like there's a scripture in the Word of God where I think it was Elijah or Elisha, one of them, was spending time. They just had a big battle and they were winning and a whole bunch of prophets died because they called down fire from heaven and it was awesome, right? Great big victory, and then some woman says, I'm going to kill you, and he runs away and hides and says, God, kill me now, I hate my life. Like it's like 8 seconds after having a major victory, right? Who knows that even if your life's going well, after victory, after victory, after victory, after victory, you need to rest in the Lord. You need to spend time with the Lord. You need to spend time in the Word of God. You need to spend time. Play Elevation Worship. Come on, hallelujah. We all need that. So I'll do that in the car. I'll come home and I'll walk out of the car and I got some peace in my life. Hallelujah. And I can bring that peace into my life and into my family and into my wife's life, into my kids' lives. Hallelujah. Be intentional this week about spending time with God. Be intentional about worship. Amen. We'll have a whole sermon on worship in the next couple of weeks too, and I'm absolutely thrilled about that. That's going to bless your life. Actually, I'm going to get Pastor Luke to preach that message I'm just kidding. Hey, I'm just trying to freak him out right now. He's like, what? I didn't get the base camp memo. That was really mean, and I'm sorry, man. I love you. But for some of you, I know this sounds old school. You're like, I know all of this stuff. I know I already do this. Like what you want to just, all right, already do this, that's it. You don't want to go beyond. You don't want to grow more. You don't want to spend more time with God. Come on. Like there was this moment where King David finally gets the ark back into the city and he's dancing and he's worshiping. His clothes may or may not have fallen off. It's debatable. But he's dancing. He's going crazy in the courts, dancing in the presence of God, right? And the daughter of Saul, Michal, she says, look how you disgrace yourself in front of all these people. To which he replies, yeah, watch, I'm gonna get so much more undignified than this. When I read that, I'm not talking about making a fool of ourselves. When I read that, what I hear is, this is not the end of what I'm doing. It's gonna get better, it's gonna get bigger, it's gonna get greater, I'm gonna spend more time in God's presence. And so for those of you who you're like, this is old school, I learned this years ago, I wanna challenge every single one of you, no matter where you're at with your walk with God, go to another level in your worship with the Lord this week. If you normally spend one night worshiping the Lord in your house, do two this week. Do three, do four, do once a day, do twice a day. Just pause, stop, take a moment to worship the Lord. And when you're done, just take 30 seconds to be still and to be quiet and ask God to speak to you. Come to church next week with a soul set on fire, ready to go to another level, not just needing to be reset, amen. But let me be clear. If you have a rough week, don't be embarrassed. Come and reset. If you forget to spend time by the source of your soul's strength, come next week and be reset in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, I'm not ticking the box of the things that the pastor on the stage told me to do this week. No, this is a simple thing I want you to do. If you don't do it, come next week. Be inspired, be reminded, be encouraged. Leave with the strength to set your soul on fire for the Lord. Amen. See, let's all be like David and not care what people say about us, what our friends think about us, what our neighbors think we look like or sound like, what our visitors say, what our spouses have to say about our worship. And let's fan into flame the fire that God put inside each and every one of us, that passion and that desire for the presence of God. Amen. Find the time, make the time, make it happen. Bless your home. Hallelujah. There are people in this room who don't know Jesus. And I want to take a moment to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. God is so good. He's so good. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ as a young man, we've gone through incredible turmoil in our family. There was just messed up stuff happening. Something happened to my older brother that wasn't good. My parents got divorced. They separated. My dad took us to a whole other state in the country, probably about 1,000 miles away or something like that, or kilometers, whatever it is, and left my mum behind. He told us kids, hey kids, I'm going back to get your mom. And he came back with a trailer full of furniture and no mom. And it was messed up. And we went on, and my response was hyperactivity and chatty, chatty, chat, and God will use anything for a win, amen. I thank God for that now. And my brothers all got on drugs and got on alcohol, and I'm the only one in my family out of my four brothers, my four flesh and blood, brothers and sisters, same mom, same dad. I'm the only one that actually got married before I had kids. Their lives were completely messed up. And I don't judge them, and I don't judge anyone in here who's lived a life like that. I don't judge them at all. But I gave my life to Christ at a really young age. None of them did. And their lives went haywire. There is only one thing different about my life than their lives, and that is that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. It's the only thing. It is the only thing. It is the only thing that is different between our lives. And because of that, I've lived a blessed life. I really have. It's been hard things. I still had to have heart surgery and taken out of my chest, disconnected from my heart, cut open, all that other gear. I still got my heart broken after high school. Come on, you know. There's been tough stuff still. But I've had a Father in heaven walk by me and carry me through all of the garbage that my brothers and sisters didn't invite him to come and do for them. And it hurt them dearly. And I pray for them every day that they would find the peace and the strength and the hope that I've found in Jesus Christ. And right now, I pray that you would give your life to Jesus Christ. I've seen people who, unlike me, they didn't give their life to Jesus Christ at a young age. Instead, they went through life and they went through similar things that my brothers and sisters went through, and lives got pretty bad at times, and then they gave their lives to Jesus Christ. I look at one of my friends over here, one of those stories, gave his life to Christ, left, went crazy, came back, gave his life to Christ. I'm going to marry him soon. And he's living a blessed life now. There's a lot of people in this room who came back to Christ or came to Christ after having a crazy life. And their lives have also been blessed since giving their lives to Christ, have been healed, have been stronger, have had hope. As Scripture says, they now have everlasting joy that the world can't take away. Amen. And I want to invite you to do that today with me. Scripture says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you're saved. That's good news. Then you're saved. And we'll talk more about that relationship with God that'll bring that vibrancy and that healthiness to your life. But right now, God wants to save you from your past mistakes, save you from more future mistakes. God wants to forgive your sin, save you from an eternity in hell, and set you up to live an eternity in heaven where the streets are paved with gold and there's life and hope and joy. And in between the two, life on earth with God carrying you through any trial you might ever face again. So pray this prayer with me, okay? Every single person in the room, pray this prayer with me. Give your life to Jesus Christ. I can tell you this, you will not be alone. We have a ton of people that pray this prayer every single week. Every week there's about 20 to 40 people who pray this prayer for the first time, giving their lives to Jesus Christ here at Eternity Church. But there's also everyone else in the room, and we're all going to pray it with you right now. So repeat after me, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, paid the price for my sins, rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord and you as my Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Come on, praise the Lord in here. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time and you're giving your life back to Jesus or meeting Him for the first time today, congratulations. God bless you. Best thing you ever did. Amen. Best thing you ever did. But there's three things I want you to do. You're not alone. A lot of other people have prayed that for the first time here today, this weekend, next weekend, last weekend, the weekend before. Three things I want you to do. Number one, I want you to tell somebody what you did. Get on Facebook, get on Twitter. Gave my life to Jesus Christ at Eternity Church. I'm going to live a blessed life. Watch me. Amen. Come on, do that. Second thing, tell somebody else what you did. Get home after church. Hey, I gave my life to Jesus Christ today. You need to come to church with me next week. You need to meet Jesus. You need to come hear the sermons at this church. You need to come and experience the presence of God for real at this place. Bring them with you. I also want you to tell us, text the word SAVE to the number 25827. And so tell us as a church that you prayed that prayer. Text that word to that number, and this week in the mail, you'll receive a gift from our church. We're obsessed with generosity, and we just want to be generous to you. So we'll give you a Bible, a CD. We're also going to send you a gift card to a local coffee shop here in the metro area so that you can just go bless yourself or take a friend out and tell them about the hope that you found in Jesus Christ today. The third thing that I want you to do is to tell me. So if everyone in the room could close their eyes and bow their heads, every single person, no one looking around. If you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. I don't want anyone looking around. Give people the privacy they deserve, making the greatest decision of their lives. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, and you want me to pray for you, I'm not going to point you out, but I'm going to pray for you from where I am. If you want me to pray for you, lift up your hand right now while no one's looking around. Just lift up your hand and let me see that. I see that hand. Anybody else? Just keep lifting up your hands right now. I see that hand. Anybody else? Just reach up your hand and show me who you are. Anybody else? Anybody else? I don't want to miss your hand. Is there anybody else? Heavenly Father, we pray for those two people. I ask you to touch their lives right now. God, just those two people at Central Campus, God, and across all of our campus, God, everyone who lifted up their hands, I ask you to touch their hearts right now, to bless them right now, to take away their sin, take away their shame, take away their hurt, take away their pain, take away their guilt, take away their regret, Lord God, and replace it with life, with hope, with joy, with peace, everlasting joy that the world can't take away. Bless them in Jesus' name. And God, start that fire in their hearts, that desperate desire in their hearts to have a relationship with you. Amen. Amen. God is good. Don't you believe that? Yeah. What I want to do right now, I'm going to walk off this stage, but I've got a team of people prepped, ready to go to pray for you. I know there are people who this week, hey, some weeks you do spend time with God, and some weeks the devil comes pretty hard, right? And you thank God you'd been spending time with him, because it'd have been a heck of a lot harder otherwise, right? But sometimes we still just need that extra, that new fresh dose of the ghost, as I like to call it, that extra touch from God, that extra refreshing in the presence of God. Have you not heard that? A dose of the Holy Ghost, come on. If you need that today because something's got you down, come down the front and get prayer. Come down the front and get prayer. Our team is waiting for you. All across our campuses, we're waiting for you. The other thing though, you might have a healing that you need. You might have a financial need that you have. You might have someone you're desperate to see get saved. Whatever it is, we want to pray for you. Our team's got enough faith to believe that God can do a miracle in your life right now, today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So come on, give the Lord a shout of praise.